Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Moscow, the headlines in the Wall Street Journal tell a story yet to learn. Drones hit residential areas in Moscow for first time. Subhead, drones struck several buildings in the first attacks on civilian areas deep inside Russia since the invasion of Ukraine last year. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. The puzzle about the Moscow news: this isn't deep inside Russia. This is Moscow. This is where everybody lives who's making decisions right now about the war in Ukraine. Mary, it is the second year of the war, and now we have what we were told a year ago would have been a provocation for a wider conflict with NATO. As of now, that seems far-fetched. Do you agree that Ukraine is correct in striking terror against Russian civilians the way Russia has struck terror against its? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I think these attacks on Moscow's really elite kind of suburban neighborhoods are essentially fair game. Putin launched an unprovoked war on civilian targets in Ukraine. He's, you know, killed thousands of people and soldiers are committing war crimes. If anything, it's kind of surprising that we haven't seen these kinds of attacks deep within Russia before. I mean, recall that Moscow is, you know, about 300 miles from the Ukraine border. So if indeed these are Ukraine-backed drone attacks, that's a pretty sophisticated operation, and it leads you to wonder, where were the drones launched from, and does Ukraine, you know, have people within Russia? An attack like this accomplishes several goals, John. It not only creates a kind of domestic fear in the capital city of Russia, it undermines Putin's narrative about the Ukraine war, because it shows that the enemy has the ability to strike within Russia proper, in a significant way against the capital. And thirdly, I think it potentially encourages those close to Putin to challenge his power. We know that there has been dissent within the ranks. You see that between the head of the Wagner group, Prigozhin, and the defense minister of Russia. So, you know, again, I think that it is surprising that this hasn't happened earlier. And I think that Ukraine certainly takes a risk by launching an attack like this, but they're calculating that the risk is worth the potential benefit to them.
NATO is what the presenting story about on the eve of the counteroffensive. NATO, NATO, NATO. I am not certain, but I think it is accurate, given that we've reported on this war from the beginning, that NATO has not laid down the terms that it believes will be successful for Ukraine. I don't think they've said that. However, we were told repeatedly for the last year that if we do this, then the war will be NATO's. If we permit this, then the war will be NATO's. I don't speak to the military matter. That was a diplomatic construction. This incident in Moscow, does this demonstrate, at least indicate, that the claim, if we do this, give F-16s, if we do this, give long-range missiles, if we do this, permit cross-border contact, then there was no NATO war, that it was always going to be Ukraine versus Russia?
Well, it's not really Ukraine versus Russia, given the support that Russia has from the likes of Iran and China. So it's not a bilateral war in any way, shape, or form. You know, John, and we've talked about that We've talked about that before.
The puzzle then, is there a wider war to fear? Or was that Moscow's invention in order to hold off the United States?
It was Moscow's, I think, invention. And the idea that we can somehow contain the conflict and make nice with Putin, and if we don't do one thing, maybe he'll do another. Well, that's been disproven for years. I mean, appeasing Putin resulted in the partial invasion and occupation of Georgia. It resulted in his insertion into the Syrian civil war. It resulted in the invasion of Crimea back in 2014. And, you know, there was a lot of outreach between the Biden administration and Putin at the beginning of Biden's term. Recall the green lighting of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And what did that result in? The second invasion of Ukraine. So it was kind of a backward logic, John, whereas Putin invades, maims and kills. And the West says, golly, can't do anything or we might provoke him. Well, he's provoking us. And so, I think the question ought to be, what sort of show of strength do we need to deter this guy from broader ambitions? And I think that Europe has woken up to that on its eastern front, but Washington still hasn't, and that's the problem.
The puzzle then, Mary, can we imagine the U.S. permitting Putin to remain because it would mean a wider war to remove him?
Well, you're right to cite the possibility that there may be an internal spasm of political violence or machinations within Moscow. Russia has seen that before in its history. We also know that the United States is not very good at inserting itself into the political struggles of other nations. Think Iraq and Afghanistan, and trying to fashion some sort of sustainable peace. The Russian people have unfortunately had autocratic leadership for a very, very, very long time. And there is, as I said earlier, I think dissent and discord within the leadership about Putin's Ukraine war, which has been a bloody disaster for him and the army. And so the question really is, is there a way to encourage someone else to take over? That's really a question for the leadership circle in Russia. I'm not sure that any foreign power has the capability or wit or insight to pick exactly the right person. What we have to do is present a united front, so to speak, and deter whoever it is that sits atop the Kremlin from taking on this kind of adventurism that Putin has embarked on in Ukraine. And you do that through the weapons of war, by demonstrating very clearly that we will not tolerate this and there will be consequences if you invade other countries. And again, unfortunately, Washington adopted the opposite approach. They appeased Putin. Then when he invaded, they offered Zelensky a trip out of the country to kind of give up. And then once it was clear that Zelensky wouldn't submit to this unprovoked war, we've kind of spooned out military supplies to him in stages, which has only resulted in trench warfare in the places like Bakhmut until the Russian forces prevailed, and an extension of the war. So, we're either going to equip him to win or we're not. And if we're not, then that's only going to prolong this terribly needless conflict.
My small model is what happened in 91 when the American forces were successful in driving Iraq out of Kuwait and then stopped and left Saddam Hussein to sit there in Baghdad and fume and plot revenge. My concern is that that could be another event in Europe, driving Russia out and let Moscow decide with Putin, the strong man, in place.
Well, again, I think you construct strong military deterrence, and then you start explaining to the Russian people that their future would be a lot better if they had different leadership, and you lay out what would happen if they chose a more cooperative stance with the West. And we have an enormous sanctions regime on Russia. It's not particularly effective because Russia has allied with China and they're propping each other up. And so it's a difficult proposition, no doubt about it. But at the very least, if we can't control what China does with Russia, we can certainly control the military stance that NATO takes to prevent an invasion from happening again and stop this war. And, you know, it's a very dangerous period, John, because it's clear that Putin doesn't fear the West and China doesn't fear the West, and neither does Iran. And that's a toxic mix that I fear is not, unfortunately, weakening. It's doing just the opposite. It's strengthening.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. We're headed to China and its presentation today about its difficulties, its challenges, and its aggression. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.